Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to the Curator Podcast, Season 2, Episode 15, an interview with Cami Cazzagueros.
What's in that corner? You've got a new car.
It's not us.
No. We've got, our friend Rhiannon is driving us for this tour after we broke down like a week or so ago on the way to a festival. Yeah. So she luckily swooped in, like, had two of us, like, not needing, like, full back line.
Yeah.
There's just no point having a van because it would be bare.
It's just a lot of space. And yeah. Just not a lot of people in there, so.
Yeah. We could have a really big crew, though.
Oh, yeah.
If we did.
If we had friends, to have a really big crew.
This is very true.
That's a really sad thing to see. You don't have friends.
No, we played in Leeds the other night, and like one of the promoters came up. We go, "Oh, do you have any guest lists?" And we were like, "No."
No, I was in Birmingham.
Oh, in Birmingham.
On the first night, yeah. I didn't know anyone in Birmingham.
Yeah, no, we don't have
any. Birmingham's such a weird place, man. Like, it's a really big city, but hardly anything ever happens.
Okay.
I had a great time.
Yeah, the show is really good. So
I feel like we've got a free jazz accompaniment here with the drums and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, I've heard the album.
Sweet.
Ooh. I've heard the record.
Nice.
It's fucking loud.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And it's really, really dark.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Sorry.
I like darkness. That's what I'm all about. Things have changed a little bit since Sad. Is that fair to say? Musically.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We just had, like, more... I don't know, on an album you have more room to, like, experiment a bit more and play around and not think, like, oh, we've got to produce five bangers. Which, not saying that there's five bangers on Sad, but, like, it was just more, like, being able to have, like, a kind of the more, like, slower, sludgy, grungy stuff and then
some more tracks.
Well, they're the most fun ones to write.
Yeah, though,
some,
like,
of the more album tracks are like my favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
And then some more like shoegazy stuff on there as well.
Yeah,
like the two songs on there, there's one called Lights and Sounds, nicknamed Oasis, and another one called Good for Nothing, and like those two are like the more like, I guess what you'd call like an album track, but like they're two of my favorites. So, and my voice changed a lot for sure, like, after all of the touring we did. I don't know if it was a good change or not, but it just changed. It's just different now. It's not screamy. It's more like...
I think I was listening to Sad the other day, and I was, like, really surprised. Like, it's really squeaky.
It's quite high-pitched, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
it's a lot deeper now than...
I don't know if that's just what, like, the intensity of the touring last year did, but, like, it's fun. I like it.
Do you find yourself getting a bit, like, you did a whole lot of touring last year, and I've been speaking to a lot of singers, mostly speak to singers because I'm a singer, and I get issues with my voice all the time. Did you get any issues with your voice from doing that many shows?
The main issue I have with my voice is actually my posture, which sounds, like, really daft, but I was blowing my voice out within three songs at, like, the start of last year, and... I went and had, like, one vocal lesson, just scraped together some money, went and saw a guy for, like, an hour, and he was just like, I've listened to your stuff, like, I don't think you've got any problems. I'm like, no, I have, like, I'm blowing my voice out really quick. And he made me sing Black Coffee, and then within, like, a couple of minutes, like, he'd, like, pushed me against the door to keep my back straight, and he was just like, you're closing your throat up, so you're not, like... you're not blowing your voice out, you're just not getting enough air in there. So, like, I have to worry about posture and because I hunch over my pedal boards. Yeah. Got a deep pedal board, so it's like, that's like the main issue I have. And then I just, the little things, like, like beer. Like I can't drink like beer or anything because it coats my throat, and I won't sing as well. I won't last the set. And then yeah, I don't eat like dairy or anything. So I stopped eating dairy like November last year after we came off the tour, kind of. And then it's been a lot better since all of that's been accounted for, I guess.
That's pretty cool to hear that you've not had any damage. I went to the doctor to get the camera up my nose, and yeah, I was fine. I was deeply, deeply uncomfortable.
Oh yeah,
I
yeah.
don't think
yeah.
I'd want I've, a camera up my nose.
It's not good. It's not good. So yeah, try and watch that if you can. So you, because you did so much touring last year, like, how did it feel going to sit down and write the record? Did you feel more confident and assured in what you were doing?
I think it was probably the opposite. Yeah. Like, we had a thing where we got back off tour last year and we were just like, oh, we need to write an album now. Like, I don't think we'd wrote a song in like maybe 2 years. We hadn't had a band practice in like...
Yeah, because we jammed when we'd got like sound checks and stuff. Yeah, and yeah. We'd written, the only thing we had actually written was Sad Forever, yeah. which I didn't even realise until you said it in a different interview yeah, yeah. the other day. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, like we wrote that first, and mm-hmm. like I think as a guide we were always pretty much thinking that'd close it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I guess it was a little bit of play on like the EP mm-hmm. as well almost. But yeah, it wasn't like that thing where you were just like sick, back from tour, so much momentum, yeah. let's write an album. It was just like, we were just like, oh God, like we've got like, we'd already pushed the record. We were meant to record it on the 4th of December. Yeah. We got back from tour with no album on the 22nd. So we pushed it back
yeah.
to January, and then like basically just like.
I think we were just really tired when we got back off tour. Yeah. We were just like, oh, how do we do this? How do we remember how to write songs again? And then. Like, I think we wrote one and then a couple more came and we were like, oh, we can do this.
Yeah,
this
and then,
is fine.
And then, like, there was a few places where we got stuck, and luckily Bob Cooper, do you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Berlin for 3 or 4 days and he let us basically have his...
Oh, well, sorry.
Parking warden.
Oh.
We're in the car, though, so we can just drive away.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're literally behind the van.
All right, cool.
We'll keep an eye. You've got the keys, haven't you?
You've got the keys.
You've got the
keys.
I can't drive.
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, well, that...
I'll keep
well,
this on
that
it.
Yeah, right?
Well,
do you want to swap positions? We'll do yeah. a quick changeover because you can drive.
Yeah, because I can just drive okay. away if this happens.
Cool. I'm going to leave this recording.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. The life of a DIY punk band. Running away from parking wardens.
So now Lucinda and Connor are getting out of the car to change sides. And they're going to drive away with me sitting in the back. Which is a bit weird, but also kind of cool.
I put the hazards on as well. Cool.
Right.
So we were recording an album.
Yeah.
yeah.
A bit NPR there.
Yeah, yeah. We just need to cross the pans over so yeah. we're on the same side.
Yeah, Bob Cooper went to Berlin. not in no way related to the song Berlin. And he gave us the keys to his studio. So for pretty much a week, we went in there at like 8 or 9 in the morning every day, and then tried to like just piece together everything, and then yeah. wrote a couple more songs. And like in that week, it was like, okay, cool. We like got it in a shape where it was like fit to record the week after. So yeah, we were like really blessed for Bob to like let us do that.
I think we just kind of changed what we wanted as well, like a little bit more, like we were more confident of what we wanted to sound like. Like, we just had a load of chorus on this record, which is great, so...
Well, I think those were the rules. It was like overdrive, chorus and reverb, and like, we got, like, I played around with my pedals and Bob's pedals in that week before. So when Bob came back, I was like, cool, this is what we set up. And, we're going to go for a drive.
Yep.
Like, this is what we set up, and then this is, like, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the engine
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
So I'm really sorry, mate.
Okay, so I'm just going to leave this in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take our seatbelts off. Get comfortable again.
Relax.
So, chorus pedals.
Yeah, I just basically, like, we'd used his, we got like a good staple sound for what we wanted, and Bob came back and I was like, this is what we were doing, and then we did that thing where Bob kind of like was played with everything with us, and we were like, yeah, cool. And that, like, obviously we're big on guitars, so that was like where it all came from.
Yeah,
it was cool. Like, we had a bit of like a stressful time recording it because we gave ourselves 7 days
to do 11 tracks. It was
we got there, but like it wasn't the easiest like road to doing it. Like, we made it very hard for ourselves, but we wanted to get it out like this year.
Definitely
before summer. So that was the deal, I guess.
Yeah. I hate to interrupt this interview, but I just want to remind you to hit the subscribe button. It really helps if you subscribe to this podcast, because then you'll never miss an episode. And why would you want to miss an episode? I don't understand why you would want to miss one. So yeah, hit the subscribe button in whatever podcasting app you're using. And now, let's get back to them.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What have you?
Is the touring process going to be as intensive this time as it was last time?
I think we said it probably wasn't, but it's kind of booking itself up at the moment like it usually does, so
yeah. I think like it was like a really good thing for us to tour as much as we did last year, because we were just everywhere. We were probably just that annoying band that were like just showed up, hello, we're here again kind of thing. But yeah, this, like, we obviously had like a June tour booked, and then we got asked to do the Narwhals tour, and we're like, oh, May, June, that's great. Yep. That's our May and June sorted. Got some good festivals coming up in July. I think we're hoping to head over to Europe and America again this year. We're doing Fest in America, so hopefully do some more stuff around that. So yeah, it is kind of booking up, but we're not going to like run ourselves into the ground in the same way that we did last year, which we managed, but I don't think like we want to put like our bodies and our minds through that again.
Why was it so intense last year apart from all the dates?
It's just
long drives. Yeah. Like, I think Philadelphia to Michigan was like a 15-hour drive.
There's just no... So. Like, if you're like a semi-successful band or a slightly big punk band, it's fine because you're in a van.
Yeah.
You might like, you know, you're playing good venues with catering and stuff like that, and you're getting fed well. And it's when you're a DIY punk band in England and in Europe, it's actually easy. And then in America, it's completely different. You don't know what you're going to get paid every night. Like, they don't really do guarantees for tiny bands. Like, and you know, some nights we'd come away with like $200 a show, and some nights we'd come away with like $8 towards gas or something.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and we're not in a big comfy van. We borrowed a mate's pickup truck for the East Coast, and then on the West Coast we were in a van with another band, and we just hopped in, and that turned out to be like an uninsured converted camper van with two seat belts, the front seat and the passenger seat, and there wasn't enough seats to have everyone in there, so we sat on the floor.
That was a great experience. I loved that.
Like, yeah, that was like some of the most fun we've ever had. Yeah. But like that was pretty much like get to a venue, play the set, like not load out and get back in the van again and drive to the next venue, and you wouldn't get there till lunchtime the next day.
Yeah.
And so like that, when you're not comfortable, it's like it's great and you enjoy all the good bits about it, but it's just like it's just tiring on everything.
I've not what happened there?
I don't know.
That was putting me off my game a little bit.
Yeah, I think there was like 3 days when we were in on the West Coast where we were like Fullerton, like Southern California, and then it was like an overnight 15-hour drive to San Francisco. We played a show, and then it was like another overnight 15-hour drive to Portland the next day.
Jesus.
And it was just, I think that broke me that day a little bit. Like,
yeah, I think if you're like you're in a bus or you're in a big splitter van, fine, but like, I don't know, it's, we just like deprived ourselves of any of the normal things that make you comfortable and make you feel like almost like at home, and then like everything we've done ever since has been easy.
I was going to say, like, it's something you can only learn by doing. Like, you couldn't necessarily anticipate that was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you
but
go over there, you know.
Yeah, it's
that experience the first time you're like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. Plus like it's always good to have experiences like that as well. Yeah. Like, it's like we were saying, it was like probably two of the best weeks we've ever had.
Yeah,
like, just traveling around, like playing all these new cool places, like it was great.
Yeah, it was like, it was insane. And like, I don't know if like, I don't know how many bands as tiny as us like will get over to do that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's
right?
Possible. It's 100% possible.
Yeah.
Did you book that all yourself, or was it through an agent?
Yeah, but it's just all self-booked. But it was, we had friends help us out.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky because we've been over before. Mm-hmm. So we've got like people that we know that book shows in different places.
Yeah.
And they recommended other people to us as well. So it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, it just comes together.
Yeah.
One thing I'm wondering, this podcast is about creativity generally, but because we've been talking about touring, I always like to ask, where does the drive and the intensity come from to continue doing it? Because a lot of the time it can be quite backbreaking work, because that is work, you know.
I think when we were in America last year, it was the first time where it felt like it was work. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like, but yeah, it's like, I don't, when you're in the moment, it's kind of hard not to take it for granted and stuff. And then when you get back, you're just like, oh, that was amazing. I can't wait to go again.
Yeah,
like after a few weeks, like we got back and we were like, yeah, we definitely need a break now.
Yeah.
But after like a month or 2 months, we were like, oh, can't wait till we get back out now. And like,
for me, it was like make or break with Sad, though. It was like, because we'd been doing it for like 6-7 years before that happened, and we'd been in a three-piece just under a different name. We changed the name, our guitarist left, and then we became a two-piece, and then we did the EP, and it was like, cool, like, this is it now. Like, you know, like, the, like, if we can, like, continue and still have a nice time, play some really good shows and like somehow manage to like keep saying, then great. If not, then maybe that's it. And then I think at that point that was when BSM came in.
Yeah.
And we had that in the back of our minds when we were making the album, and they gave us like the drive to finish the album because we wanted to sign with them and we wanted to put an album out through BSM because we love that label. So that was like the last little bit of drive we needed to like kind of work really, really hard to like, you know, just make everything as great as we could in the time that we had.
Does it feel like it's starting to pay off then after all the time?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, this has been a really, really good tour so far.
If every time we do this, like, we get a little bit further and do, like, cooler stuff and go to more places, then as long as we're moving forward in that type of way, not necessarily like, oh, we want to, like, sell out loads of venues, but, like, but, like, in more of a way that, like, if we're growing as a band and, like, we're still doing stuff that keeps it, like, fresh and interesting for us and, like, anyone that might come see us along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess if you kind of end up stopping, you're not writing anything, you're not playing many shows and stuff, like, for me, like, I don't know, it's like, I think that's why we've ended up like just here as a two-piece, like we have the same like drive to do the same things.
Yeah.
It's like you've not considered not doing it. It's like a, just there's like almost like a restless nature to kind of keep at it.
Yeah, yeah. And like the worry of what else you'd do.
Yeah.
If you had all that extra time.
Yeah.
I'm kind of also been wondering, or thinking about this quite a lot lately with a lot of bands, but particularly ourselves, I think I spoke to you about this last time, Connor, or was it one of you? We spoke about this last time, about how like you liked that your sets have always kind of got like an improvised kind of feel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're playing about on stage as well, mm-hmm. as just playing. That sounds hard.
Yeah, like I've always like thought stuff like that was interesting. Like one of my favourite bands were the White Stripes, who are another two-piece, mm-hmm. but like they never used to have a set list. Like Jack White used to just call out whatever song he wanted to play and they just play it. And like, I think we've got like a little bit of structure to our set, but like
at the moment, because like the slots are tight on this tour, but like
we can drag stuff out and we can extend stuff and like we can have a bit of a jam on stage, which is what we love to do.
Yeah, we play shorter sets to play longer sets, if that makes sense. So like we plan to play a short set and then it'll fill, we play like a shorter set than the time we're given, and then we just fill that out with whatever in between.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm sorry, I've just got a text saying we need to go sound check.
Oh, really?
This has been the most disturbed interview ever.
Yeah.
It'll go down in history, though, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Any parting questions?
It's usually, I'm usually the one asking if you get anything you want to add before we finish. So, if you get anything you want to say or anything you want to add or ask me before we finish.
I think we're good. Do you have anything?
No.
No?
We're putting an album out in June.
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's all right.
You think it's all right?
Yeah. No, I'm really proud of it. I think it's great. So.
As long as you're proud of it.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Question for you.
Yes.
Are you coming to the show tonight?
No, I'm just going to leave.
Oh, God damn it.
No, of course.
Just going to go hang out in Pizza Punks instead.
Oh, mate. Unlimited toppings, though.
Unlimited toppings.
Oh, we're going.
We've been told there's a really good veggie meat feast one. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go check that out, I think. Which sounds great.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Let's resolve that there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Two piece of punks.
Yes.
Guys, sounds it's a total pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
cheers.
Mate.
See you.
So there you have it, that's my interview with Lucinda and Connor from Kamikaze Girls. Their new album, Seafoam, is out on June the 9th via Big Scary Monsters Records, and it's an absolute blinder. It's a lot heavier, a lot more focused, I think, than the Sad EP was, and I really enjoyed listening to it. I think they'll go quite far. I'm really excited to see how people react to it. One of the weirder interviews that I've done, probably, just in terms of all the interruptions and stuff like that that happened. I guess sometimes that's just the way it goes, you know. I like to do this stuff by the seat of my pants, and you don't really get more seat of your pants or kind of more DIY, I guess, than interruptions while sitting in the back of a car. And speaking of seat of your pants, the next interview, the one following this, will be Tom from Narwhals, and that was very much by the seat of my pants, so I'm looking forward to sharing that one with you too. But as it goes, I'd like to thank you very much for listening. Please take a wee second to give me a rating and review it on iTunes, because that helps more people see this podcast, and the more people that see this podcast, the happier I'll be and the happier you'll be. And just a small reminder that if you head on over to my newsletter, that is thecuratorpodcast.com/newsletter, if you go over there and you sign up to the newsletter, then you will get access to new episodes a week early, which I think is a pretty good incentive, if you ask me. And for the first time ever, I just want to do something which I haven't done before, but I'm actually really excited to do. Big shout out to Lee Beat and his family, who listen to every episode of the podcast. It's the support of people like Lee and listeners like yourself which make this podcast worth doing. So hey, if you want a shout out, you want a thanks, drop me an email, fire me a tweet, send me a message on Facebook. Thank you very much. Until next time, bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Thank you.
Thank you.